Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from England, we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior of the community in Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled Jesus and Freedom.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free." He answered, "We are descended from Abraham, and we have never been the slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be made free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave. Now the slave's place in the house is not assured, but the son's place is assured. So the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descended from Abraham, but in spite of that, you want to kill me, because nothing I say has penetrated into you. What I, for my part, speak of is what I have seen with my father. But you put into action the lessons learnt from your father." They repeated, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do as Abraham did. It says you want to kill me when I tell you the truth as I have learnt it from God. This is not what Abraham did. What you're doing is what your father does. We're not born of prostitution," they went on. "We have one father, God." Jesus answered, "If God were your father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent and by him." The Gospel of the Lord. I was looking up the Summa Theologia to do a little piece for our priory in Cambridge on the cross, and I entitled it "The Cross and Is Necessary for Redemption," explaining why the cross is God's choice to bring about the redemption in a certain way. Then I realized actually that doesn't work, because it's not the word that Thomas uses. The word he uses is liberation. Was the passion of Christ necessary for the liberation of the human race? It's often in Thomas, he doesn't quite say what you think he would say. We all know it's about redemption. He says freedom. He also says freedom, liberation of the human race. Humani generis. Race didn't mean quite the same to him as it does to us. For one thing, Thomas probably wouldn't have understood the idea of different human races. There is only one human race. Christ came among that human race. It's a much later time it starts to talk about different races. That's not what it means for Thomas. But also the freedom. What he means by freedom. I think he's very much thinking of this gospel where Christ talks of freedom. He says the truth will make you free. The truth will free you. Now there's a certain contradiction there. How can you make someone free? But then, for Thomas, freedom is simply the fulfillment of our being. If the Son frees you, you will be free truly, absolutely, or really free. Different ways of trying to translate this Greek word, which literally means being it rather than just seeming it. You will be free, you won't just seem free. Maybe a bit confused about that. Well, I think most of us are. What does it mean to be really free? We can make choices now. Well, for Thomas, I think it simply means fulfilling all our desires. And not just the desires we have now, all the desires we could have. Because after all, God is still creating us. And God awakens desire in us. He makes us grow. We seek deeper things, better things, higher things, as we grow in grace. It's only because we seek things and want things that we can be free, because freedom is simply following our desires. Some people think desire is the opposite of freedom, you know, to free when you don't want anything, and then it's just pure choice, pure random meaningless choice. That's simply a mistake, and quite a big mistake. No, we are created by God, who is awakening us desire. No one would say that the choice to love the people they love. Talk about falling in love. You know, the idea of stumbling into love. Love is awakened from outside. And love is freedom. We are freed by love. And the analogy Christ gives is the idea of the distinction between a son in the household and a slave. Now, despite the translation, what Christ says is rather strange. He doesn't say, well, the slave has to do it, but the son doesn't have to do it. He says rather the son remains. Translation, the slave's place in the house is not assured. But what Christ says is the son remains the servant or the slave. There's a bit of both in the ancient world. Doesn't remain in the house, meaning he's not connected. He's not there for love. The son is there for love. Of course, we all know the story of the prodigal son who forgets about love for a moment. But love makes us want to be there. Love keeps us there. And that's why it is freedom. It's also why Jesus' passion, his cross, his suffering, is an act of love for the sake of our love. We should be filled with a strange joy, a very deep joy underneath the sadness at the death of Christ. We venerate the cross and we rejoice not because we want to think of suffering but because we want to believe and feel Christ's love. He wanted to die for us, he wanted to love us in that way so that we could love in that way. At any price, for any reason, for any cost, for anything that we must endure, to love at a great cost is to love very well. And to love that way is to love freely. Because human beings really want to love. It's the only thing that makes us free, where we can be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is, God is love.